Welcome to the Mad Tech Podcast from ExchangeWire, bringing you the latest news and views from the world of ad tech, media, and marketing.
Hello, and welcome to the Mad Tech Podcast. I'm Grainne Rhee, ExchangeWire's Head of Marketing, and your host for today. I'm thrilled to welcome Cindy Gill, Head of Digital at the Kite Factory.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Delighted to have you joining us today, and I'm also delighted to know that you'll be joining us on stage at ATS London on September 9th.
I will be, very excited for that.
Yeah, amazing. Alongside Cindy, we've got ExchangeWire's Head of Content, John Still. John, how are you today?
I am warm and flustered, G, but thank you very much. I'm looking forward to a good conversation.
Yeah, lovely London summer weather. Yeah. It's got us all. Well, as always, we'll be diving into three news stories that made headlines this week. Elon Musk is bringing ads to X's AI chatbot, turning conversations into commercial real estate. Google's pushing back on claims that its AI search is gutting website traffic, but the numbers tell a very different story. And Meta is under fire again, with lawmakers demanding it shut down Instagram's map feature, calling it abysmal at protecting kids. So let's break down what's happening. And first up, Elon Musk, and I know we've got some strong opinions in the room today. Elon plans to introduce advertising into the new answers of X's artificial intelligence chatbot, Grok. Musk said X would allow marketers to pay to appear in the chatbot suggestions. Many advertisers are still steering clear from X following the content moderation issues the platform has seen over the past few years. So, Simi, I'm going to come to you first on this. How big could this opportunity be to advertisers?
I think with X, as we know, there's just been continuous like distrust in the platform since Musk took it over. That's very much the feeling across a lot of the agencies, in particular at Kite Factory as well. You know, we don't tend to spend with X. It's kind of on an ethical non-block list that we have. We do that as standard. If clients have a specific brief that we need to use X for, then we may flex. But overall, our kind of stance is very much we wouldn't use it because it is a hateful platform and there is a lot of brand safety concerns that we've seen against campaigns. I think that it is a bit worrying because obviously OpenAI have denied doing this. That so far, they've said no to putting ads within their AI. And I think this is Musk. Obviously, he wants to get ahead of everybody else and kind of wants to be the first to do it. I guess when you look at it factually, then yes, it's an opportunity because it will be the only one that offers any kind of ad placement within this format. And as we know, AI is booming. Everybody is going to it. So factually, yes, it's an opportunity. But if I think about brands who are going to jump it straight away, I don't expect them to see a positive uplift from running campaigns within this. I think that those who jump it straight away may actually see a bit of a backlash because obviously OpenAI said they're worried about user experience of it, which is why they've denied it. I think that one of the things that Musk did say was that he's planning like a checkout feature with the ads so that you can deploy ads and then actually just go straight to checkout. I think that, in my opinion, ads should only really be served if like the AI prompts it. So as we know what AI is, it's all about conversation, natural prompts. So if somebody is trying to research something and is looking for a particular product or service, if the AI perhaps says, you know, are you interested in seeing some relevant brands or relevant products for this? Perhaps that could be a way in to serve ads if it's a qualified prompt only. But other than that, I don't see it being a huge media opportunity just based on user experience.
Yeah, and that's really interesting. And John, what are your thoughts on it? Because obviously, like Asumi has alluded to, the user experience could be a potential issue. Do you think it is an opportunity or it kind of poses some questions?
I think it poses a lot of questions. I am very much on record on this podcast as with my feelings towards Elon Musk and X and Grok in particular. I mean, there's been so many issues with it that I'm sure we'll touch on in a couple of minutes. But yeah, I mean, I said on my social media on Blue Sky that any brand that was to jump on this would be out of their minds, which I stand by, to be honest. Like, I think it's, I mean, I want to step aside from it. I want to take myself away from the fact it's Elon Musk and the fact it's footed with X and say that, yes, obviously advertising is coming to LLMs. It's going to be coming to ChatGPT in the future. It's going to come to the industry. It's happening.
Yeah, something
they all have in front of it. No, it happens, you know, it happens to every company. Yeah. They realize that the ad funded, that's the way to fund yourself.
Yeah.
There will be shoppable ads on LLMs, like ChatGPT will give you sponsored answers. And that's like, of course, that's how it's going to work. Yeah. And that's what brands should be excited about. But Grok's not the one for me. I mean, it's I wouldn't put my friend anywhere near it. I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot barge pole if I was a brand. But yeah, and then there was in general a great opportunity for brands to get involved. Great that, you know, I think referred to a first Shopify being involved in ChatGPT and how that direct checkout stuff will work for them. But my word, I would think a million times before I would stray into bed with Grok.
And are you coming at it from a safety risk perspective?
Yeah.
Yeah, completely.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of conjecture and a lot of discussion around how the Grok is being programmed anyway, some of the answers it's come up with. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want an LLM that would say, I am Necker Hitler. I am Hitler has some great ideas, followed by, how about you buy my brand? Like, I just wouldn't want it.
The fact he just gets away with this stuff is just mind-blowing. Like, when I read about that, I mean, it's just sad that nothing surprised me. Anything that I read to do with Musk's developments and X do not surprise me. But I agree with you. I think, yes, it's definitely coming to LLMs and can't avoid it. And we should embrace it, adapt with it. But Grok is not the one to do that. And I agree, any brand that jumps on that, you risk massively poor brand perception and damage, I think.
Yeah, I completely agree. It is not a brand safe environment. It's shown repeatedly with the answers that it comes with, the way it directs itself, that it is being built around the whims of one man and one man only. And there are better versions to get involved if you are a brand.
Yeah.
Why, you know, political persuasion, some people are going to like what Grok does, some people are ardent supporters of X and Elon Musk and his agenda. But if I was a brand, my God, I'd think twice.
Definitely.
Okay, Elon, Grok, and X aside, do you think that this is going to be the beginning then of a broader shift towards monetizing AI interactions in media?
I think it will be, we've kind of alluded to, it's happening, it's the future, and we have to develop with it, because it definitely will happen. Right now, I think it's too soon. I think that AI is still quite new. Like, it's been around, but only really this year are people really integrating it into their everyday life and, you know, using ChatGPT for everything and things like that. Right now, I think that AI is meant to be a unique and a personal experience and kind of like, you know, it's a personal one-on-one conversation. And I think that if we just suddenly capitalize on it straight away, it just shows it risks ads becoming intrusive and brands becoming intrusive. I wrote about this recently, actually, for Performance Marketing World. I don't know if you guys watched Black Mirror, the first episode of season 7, which is called Common People. So about the lady who had an injury and then got ads programmed through her brain and was kind of deploying ads. And the whole point was that they became very intrusive. They were in intimate conversations, just where they shouldn't be. And I think that's what brands need to be really careful about in this world where we're imagining with AI, because access is there to audiences. It's access is more than ever before. But it's just because it's there, it doesn't mean you have to necessarily jump on it. You don't have to, you know, serve impressions just because of the fact that they're there. So I do think that some care and consideration needs to be taken into account.
And John, do you think that we're going to see other platforms following suit?
Absolutely, yeah. I do think it is the way that the industry will move forward, as it is with every industry. Netflix jumped on ads eventually. Companies who think that they won't ever be ad funded will end up realizing that there is a lot to be made from advertising, and brands will get involved. I agree totally with Simi. I think it needs to be carefully thought through. I think it needs to be innovative as well. They need to think beyond sponsored answers. They need to think about how, you know, I think the automatic checkout, I think the shopping potential for retail media in LLMs is huge. I think that will be an interesting way of it going forward.
Yeah.
But yeah, it needs, like, brands need to be smart about it. Don't just pepper yourself into answers where it's not really needed. Don't force yourself into conversations where you've not been invited. It has to be cleverer than the way, I guess, the way advertising have been for quite some time. This is a chance to innovate and to work out a new way of conversation with the consumers.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. I think that the checkout feature could be huge, but again, it needs to be prompted. You need to get to that point in the conversation where that is a relevant thing to serve. That's because brands need to be integrated organically. You know, that's how they're best capitalizing on AI right now. If it's going to be paying, then it has to be after a certain amount of prompts, I think, to then display relevant ads.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you're using ChatGPT or LLMs at the moment, but I use it for like research for products I like. But it just tells me I'm right and I've chosen the right photo. It's like, would you like to buy this now? With thumbs up emoji. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I think that could be a risk. So yeah, I like that idea of kind of a measured system before getting to a point of purchase.
That's very forward thinking though. I don't know if that would be developed, but that's my kind of ideal for if we would set ads in that environment.
There's definitely some work that needs to be done, some testing. And yes, like you said, Simi, maybe it is a little bit too soon right now, but there's definitely some space for opportunity.
Yeah.
And we can certainly see that Elon is betting big on this monetizing through AI. And I think, yeah, let's maybe shift on to our next story, but it is still kind of sticking on the AI train of thought, and it's with Google. Google has again claimed that its new AI-powered search feature, AI Overviews, is not killing website traffic for publishers' websites. In a blog post, Liz Reed, Google's VP, head of search, wrote, Overall, total organic click volume from Google search to websites has been relatively stable year over year. Additionally, average click quality has increased and we're actually sending slightly more quality clicks to websites than a year ago. This contrasts the many studies which have been reported traffic decreasing for publishers since AI overviews were introduced. What do you make of this Google statement, Simi?
Yeah, I think that the stats are not false. I think that there's multiple research that has been done on this. And for example, Pew Research, which was from March 2025, I thought some really interesting stats. They saw that pages with AI summaries on saw a 7% decrease in publisher traffic of links and a 10% increase in people ending their browsing session after being served an AI summary. So these are actual stats that are happening, and we know that. I think that Google has said that organic traffic is stable and average click quality has increased. I agree with the sense that quality has increased, but quality is different to quantity, like they're different metrics that we're looking at. So if we're looking at objectively quantity, yes, it has decreased. But I do think that, I'm sure we'll come on to this in a moment, I think that maybe the industry are panicking a bit too much, because I don't think Google are going to kill off their biggest income, one of their biggest income streams, which is paid search, paid per click. I think that we just need to learn to adapt with it, which I'm sure we'll come on to. But yes, objectively, I don't agree with Google's statement that it hasn't killed traffic, because I think multiple stats do show that it has. I know that they're questioning the sources, but I think it's clear that quantity has gone down, just not necessarily quality.
Johnny, what do you think about this?
Yeah, agree, totally. When this story came up last week that Google had denied this, we had a good laugh. at the desk about that, the thought that it hadn't stopped sending clicks through to publishers, because it has. And of course it has. It's its model. Of course it answers questions natively without sending the questioner to another site, is what it does.
Yeah.
So I think it's the statement was odd. And I understand that they're trying to vary between quantity and quality and trying to kind of show some sort of value out there for publishers. But yeah, the thought that it is not, by its very nature, going to stop traffic going directly to publishers is a joke. I think of course it is. It's natural. And yeah, we can argue about the quality of clicks. I understand it will, you know, that things will be quantified a different way. Mm-hmm. But no, I disagree. Only Google, Fim, you are not sending a bunch of traffic as you use these publishers, and just naturally.
Yeah. Research also shows that 40% of Gen Zers are turning to the likes of TikTok instead of Google to search for the likes of restaurants or news. What does that say about the future of search?
We've been seeing this for a good few years now, like user search behavior has been changing. TikTok search has been, you know, one of the biggest rivals, especially within that generation, as you said. Not just TikTok, you know, Reddit, people go to Reddit to research, people go to Instagram to find places. People are going to AI now in terms of open AI. So yeah, this is happening, and AI is not going anywhere. So the way that I see it is that traditional pay search just needs to adapt with it. And maybe we'll go into that. I don't know if that's answering your question right now, but yes, that's not been a new thing, and it will continue to evolve that way.
John, do you think that Google should be worried about, well, Gen Z is, but generally people going elsewhere outside of Google for general research?
Yeah, I think they are worried. Yeah, I think they've had such, you know, the Chrome has been the go-to for such a long time for search. And now we're seeing, then, you know, people searching, like you said, inside TikTok, inside social platforms. And particularly with new LLMs, with ChatGPT, with Perplexity, they are going different places to get that information that otherwise would have been served to them by writing through Google. So I imagine Google, God knows they've got enough tentacles that there will be revenue coming to them from somewhere.
Yeah.
But I think given that Chrome has been such a big part of their business offering and how they've basically search was how they built everything.
Yeah.
Must be a little daunting little itch for them somewhere that it's quite scary that could all fall apart so quickly as the tide turns. But yeah, we'll see. But no, I do think the increased competition is something that Google will probably be looking to stifle immediately, but also worried about.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. A little bit more of a broader question, Simi. Mm-hmm. How can publishers protect their businesses in the face of these changing landscapes?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think that this should be seen as a huge threat. I just think we need to adapt, right? So when it comes to things like SEO and PPC to get traffic to your site, I think less keywords for discovery and just think more human. I think that there will be two search audiences now, people that are coming to Google. So there'll be like your casual researchers who are just looking for answers from AI summaries and that's kind of the level that they're at. But then there'll also be people who are ready to engage with your brand, ready to convert. And even if an AI summary is there, that's not going to stop them clicking through to your site. So to capture the first audience, you just need to make sure, and I think that your content is set up correctly to be picked up by AI crawlers. You need to make sure that you're indexing everything correctly. Like, it comes down to UX and actual web development. So not just content, you need to make sure that your actual structure of your website is indexed correctly, that crawlers can identify this answers this prompt and so on, alongside obviously developing SEO. And then when it comes to people who are ready to convert, kind of using your bid terms for actually capitalizing on those conversion keywords only and not trying to be there to get the prompts in or the discovery phases in the first place. So I think it's kind of a mix of the two. I just think that we need to rethink our metrics. I think that lower click quantity doesn't equal campaign failure. I think it really is about, we will see lower volume, but those people will be warmer and they'll be more engaged and they'll be more likely to take action with your brand. So your quality is higher.
Yeah. Interesting. I think I'm exactly that consumer. I'll only go to Google if I know exactly what I'm looking for to bring me there straight away. I think a lot of us are like that these days too. And John, kind of same question to you. How do you think publishers can protect their business in the face of these changing search landscapes? And I know you have a lot of opinions here.
Have a good lawyer. I feel like I'd be giving away trade secrets given that I'm head of content for a publisher who is very much facing these headwinds, so I'll keep our ongoing content strategy very much to myself. But just to say, I think you brought up so many interesting things there, Simi, in terms of how, how publishers are going to need to be visible to the crawlers in particular. They need to find a way, we still need a huge discussion that's ongoing about monetization models of the LLMs and how, we're seeing the deals being brokered. We did a series last year on License or Litigate, basically, where the publishers were suing for the theft of their intellectual property or selling it to the LLMs, like in legacy deals, which I think is both, has been a really interesting way that the argument's played out. But publishers need to definitely consider how to use the LLMs to reach their audience. If it's not going to be through direct traffic, then they're going to have to work out to be more attractive to it, how to make content that can succeed beyond the LLMs. Further looking at monetization models and how they really take advantage of the changing cake of stuff. So without giving away our entire H2 strategy, there's a lot for publishers to consider.
Yeah. And I guess I'd just add to that is, nothing is linear anymore. It's not been like this for a long time. Like, measurement is getting harder, targeting is getting harder, cookies are not completely going, they've been depreciating for years. People are not opting into website cookie banners, so you can't see who's actually coming to your site. GA4 now, I think, has introduced AI source as an actual traffic measurement, which is quite interesting. But nothing is that linear anymore. So again, this is just another way in which, I guess, publishers and brands need to adapt when it comes to advertising and reaching their audience and then measuring that as well.
What do you think regulation over just having a bit more transparency over clearer metrics could look like?
What do you mean, sorry, can you
just say? Just like, so the men, if you're trying to guess, what am I trying to say? The impact of the traffic that is going to through Google via their AI overview. How can metrics become clearer and more visible just to show how, what that's giving to people?
Yeah. It's a tough one because it's really difficult to track people in that way now. So even though you may know how someone's come to your website, that their actual journey can drop off. Like, we find that all the time with our measurement. It's one of the hardest things is to get that linear attribution type reporting or story for our clients in terms of where these people came from, what they went on to do, what they went to do next. It's a very tricky thing, and it's what the whole industry is facing overall, not just from, it won't just be unique to this LLM situation. But yeah, I think, you know, developing things like the GA4, being able to interpret, actually identify if it has been AI sourced or not. But really, it's if people aren't opting in to your website, you are going to become blind the moment they get onto your website in terms of what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there's definitely going to be a lot here with the Google AI overview evolution, and lots of questions about transparency and impact. But let's move on then to our third story for today. Both Democratic and Republican lawmakers in the US are urging Meta to shut down Instagram's new map feature, calling it a risk to child safety. The platform has launched a map which shares users' location within direct messages, letting other users see where geotagged content has been posted. The feature can be turned off by users. Lawmakers warn that location sharing can expose minors to predators. So yeah, predators, a very extreme words, but also very, very important. Simi, do you think that Meta have introduced, or should they have introduced this feature?
I don't know why they have. I think Instagram just keep on rolling out features that no one's asked for. If they just listened to their users, they would know that all people want back is a chronological newsfeed timeline. That's all people want. But they just keep on adding features that nobody wants. So yeah, I don't know why they did this. And I think it's right to be called out. But, you know, if we're going to call it out, then we should be calling out Snap as well, who also you're allowed to sign up when you're 13 and you can use this feature. So this is a question for social platforms in general. This is not just an Instagram question.
John likes new beats. Same just, as Simi.
Just like, again, this is one when I saw the news last week, I just banged my head on the desk. These platforms, like, what on earth? Like, so we said it exactly. All anyone ever wants from Instagram is just a chronological feedback. Yeah. It was great. And instead it's like, can't give you that, guys, but can track you. We're going, you know, where you are, you can show everyone where you are. It is just like, it's been a couple of weeks of these companies shipping updates without seemingly having thought about any of the possible ramifications for it. I mean, in ChatGPT as well, launching, you know, having people's private conversations indexed and available through search engines was wild. And this kind of being able to share location data, there's not a security protocol that can make that remotely safe.
Yeah.
I don't believe at all. They can say it as much as they want. It is a ridiculous feature to have launched. I can't see the practical use of it in even the best possible case. Just have a think. And it's fair for you to bring up the other platforms as well. I think that they keep doing these things.
Yeah.
People don't want them. There's no, like, it's just daft. That's my final line on those.
And yeah, you're right, Simi, they are simply copying Snapchat.
Yeah.
But in copying Snapchat, do you think Meta's losing sight of what actually, well, you can answer that too, what makes Instagram unique?
All the platforms do it. They all do copycats of little features. And that's the thing, is no one platform is that unique anymore because you kind of do the same thing, all of them. So they lose that about themselves.
And do you think that this could erode user trust?
I think it, maybe not trust. I think it could definitely decrease kind of usage overall. I think when it comes to trust, I mean, my trust in Instagram is I think their track record at protecting users overall is disgusting. I've wrote a lot about this more from the angle of like their control of things like racism on the platform. So in particular, I've wrote about what happened after the Euros finals or in the UK riots last year, there is no brand safety control on Meta. People can post whatever they want and they're very slow to take down comments that are flagged, and there is no sense of protecting their users. And yeah, I'm very passionate about this topic. So from that point, Instagram, they do need to be, they do need to have harsher laws against them. Well, Meta needs to have harsher laws, and they just don't seem to pay notice to it whenever they're questioned on it. But yeah, I think that their track record is awful.
John, what do you think about user trust?
Yeah, I don't see why there would be any trust anyway. Like Simi said, there's been so many issues. I think it's you know, social media has become a particularly vile place for people's mental health, even when scrolling through, whether it's becoming kind of, whether it's seeing these influencers, it's seeing the wealthy side of creators living their best lives and the kind of FOMO that comes with that kind of stuff, or whether it's that genuine, you know, awful racism that can be seen across all the platforms, that is always amplified when, ironically, when something good happens, like the lionesses win, like when something that should be a celebration happens, there's always the element that is amplified on social media and the platforms. Nothing is done until something bad happens, and that's when regulators step in. And the horse has already bolted. I always say this, like, nothing is ever done until it's too late, until there has been an incident. And it could be the same with this incident, I'm afraid. Like, until there is a terrible incident, and they'll say, oh, wasn't it awful that they were sharing people's locations to everyone?
Exactly.
And that's when the regulators will step in, because they are so slow and they need to be ahead of it. We need to be thinking more about people's safety online. As I mentioned often on the podcast, I have a 4-year-old daughter, and my God, I'm just wishing that social media is banned widely before she gets to the age where she
can use it. I grew up without it.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm so happy. Dangerous play, yeah.
Then I just don't want to, you know, it's not a world that I'm going to have to be dealing with the consequences of as a father. So yeah, I'm just hoping for it. That all packs up by that point. But no, the platforms are choking their responsibilities. I feel like they are fully all in on the possibilities and the financial reward of AI while forgetting about the social ramifications of the platforms they already bought.
I think just to add to that, even though even Meta not signing the EU AI code of conduct recently just again shows the Meta mentality that they are just this big giant. They can kind of do what they want, and right, they don't, the rules don't apply to them. So I don't think they would take notice if this is brought to them necessarily.
No, just shake it off and put something shiny for people to enjoy for 5 minutes. Or yeah.
Do you think that we're going to see this feature reversed?
Potentially, I don't know. They've done things where they've rolled out features and they've only been available for a time and then they've kind of disappeared. So I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't last, to be honest. But yeah, I think that there is a potential for it. But again, then it's a question for broader social platforms as well, not just Meta.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. But obviously, it's such a feature on Snapchat. It's been there 3 years. Yeah. So I don't see it happening for them. But then can you make the blanket rule? What would Snapchat be without us? And yeah, I guess let's see what happens on that story.
Yeah.
And I did actually try to, I know it's only US feature, but I did try and see if I could see what it looked like. Yeah, couldn't.
My access.
But yeah, I think that we'll call it there for the stories this week. Simi, thank you so much for joining us today. It was great having you. And we really look forward to you joining us on stage at OTS London next
week. I'm really excited. Thank you, Betty.
Yeah. And John, as always, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed that. That was a good opportunity to run, and nice to have you see me on the same page as well. Yeah, no, it was good. I didn't feel like an old man yelling at the clouds quite so much as usual. So nice to have a partner in that. So thank you.
And that's it for the Mad Tech Podcast this week. And tune in next week.
You've been listening to the Mad Tech Podcast, brought to you by ExchangeWire.